Hello, hello, and welcome to my podcast, Love, People, Technology, Learning. And I'm Tamara Kacharova. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome an extraordinary individual to my first episode, Victoria Feldman. He wanted to zoom in something in the window. And I asked him, Clayton, what are you doing? And he told me, Mommy, I cannot see what happened in the playground. I want to zoom in it.
We were in Mexico in a restaurant. I was like speaking with everyone, you know, with all the waiters and the bars. And they're like, how do you speak Spanish? How do you speak Spanish? And then my husband, like, he went to the bathroom and he came back. And there was like five people around me like, Senorita Victoria, can we bring you this? Senorita Victoria, here's a free drink, Senorita. And you know, and it's just so fun.
It's not new, it's not future, it's a reality which we have now. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome an extraordinary individual to my first episode, Victoria Feldman, a true rock star in her field, a loving mother, a leadership and career development expert, a talented writer, a captivating speaker, and a certified experienced executive coach. Her mission? Oh, it's a profound one to guide everyone towards unlocking their full potential and mastering their craft. She crafts tailored learning experience to help her clients achieve their goals, collaborating closely with individuals, teams, and organizations to deliver cap, create, and measurable outcomes. I first crossed paths with Victoria back in October 2023 at a conference in Atlanta, and from that moment, it felt like we clicked effortlessly. It was like we were operating on the same wavelengths. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to Victoria and this space for allowing me to tap into this potential, for the opportunity to step into the role of an interviewer and to try something new. I'm truly excited about our acquaintance with Victoria. And so, buckle up, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea or maybe some juices, and let's dive into some heart-to-heart chats that will leave you feeling inspired and motivated. Victoria, welcome and hi! How are you doing?
Hello! Thank you for such an amazing introduction. I'm so excited to be here and I'm so honored to be the first guest in your podcast. Wow!
Yes, me too. Thank you so much that you are with me and always welcome to my heart, to my soul, to my life. Yes, I really appreciate you for this moment. And of course, we can start. And I want to ask you about like your career path and about your life experience in your career. Why did you choose this field? Tell us more about yourself, about your career, about your life experience in the business role.
Well, first of all, thank you. And likewise, you're also, I'm so glad that we met and in such a good moment in my life and my career. So to tell you a little bit about me, I started my career in Paris, in France, where I did my master's in organizational development and management consulting. And I started working in a management consulting company. That's a big corporation, and we were implementing technical projects, different CRMs, like customer relationship management systems, and testing them. And it was very technical work. And very soon I realized that what interests me the most is the people aspect of business. It's less about the processes and the systems, even though they are also very important for success of any company or any initiative. But I'm more interested in what motivates people, what makes them want to go to work, what makes them love their boss, or what makes them hate their boss, what makes them be excited about their work. And I also realized that I had managers that didn't have management training And I realize it's a gap. Like a lot of managers, they become managers because they are good at what they're doing. But being good at what you're doing and, you know, the technical work and managing people requires two completely different skill sets. So fast forward a few years after, I moved into kind of, my career was very kind of lateral. I moved into change management, where I trained people to adapt to new organizational changes. And then I got my coaching certification. So I had my own business. I coached individuals and startup owners, CEOs, entrepreneurs, freelancers, and teams on how to communicate better, how to talk more comfortably about things that are not comfortable, like asking for money, you know, or negotiating, how to communicate your vision. And came to the US 7 years ago and started working in doing similar work, but in bigger companies. I worked in a consulting company called Slalom, and I did really fun projects in Facebook, Meta, now PayPal, Visa, on really kind of working closely with people and doing different organizational effectiveness projects, like improving the onboarding or running leadership development or thinking about gamification strategies to improve collaboration or improving the knowledge management and whatnot. And then I worked at Uber, and now I'm at Amazon, leading learning and development function for one of Amazon's most innovative organizations. So it's kind of like we're a startup within a big company, and working with coaching and building leadership programs with very, very, very smart, talented people. So I feel very privileged to have this, you know, this journey.
Yes. Thank you for sharing your story so openly, because like as my friend of mine once said, the book that has influenced me the most in my life is the story of every person I've talked to. That's why people's stories are so important to us. And now that you are traveled like so long road, and like tell us about, like, you told that you worked like in a different experience, different departments in the largest companies all over the world. And what do you think, what key skills have you strengthened or developed transitioning from working at Uber to your current role at Amazon? And how has this impacted your approach to learning and development?
Yeah, so at Uber, my role was a program manager. I developed global programs for leadership development. So I needed to have, and I think every learning and development person, and it's, or not even learning and development, it's a skills that can be transferable to any other programs that you manage, is to kind of how to run a successful A to Z program. How do you identify the needs? How do you connect with your stakeholders and design the solution and communicate successfully the vision that meets the expectations? How do you build something with limited resources like time and budget? How do you get alignment with people around you to come and help you and support you in your vision? And then running this program successfully, defining the KPIs and communicating the KPIs and being agile and, you know, progress and improving throughout. So it's skills that can be transferable to, I think, any other profession where you work in a corporate life. You have to kind of know this and how to apply it successfully. And at Amazon, so I joined actually as an executive coach. My first role, it was called Leadership Development Business Partner. And I was mostly focused on coaching executive folks that work in operations, and they were leading all the processes, the systems, the operations behind, you know, from the moment you click buy till the moment it comes to your door. All this, like the logistics, the transportation, the delivery. And it's a very, very stressful, fast-moving, dynamic environment to work at. They always thinking about how to optimize, how to minimize delivery time, how to minimize downtime on machines, how to operate that robot so they will sort better the packages, you know, and they're leading these like huge warehouses and thousands of people under them. So there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pressure to deliver, you know, like we can say, like we prepare for Prime Day, you know, like Prime Day is like the day around it. So it was amazing experience. I met such super talented, incredible people and help them to deliver their vision better, to communicate better, to get along better. And now I'm in this role where it's in a different team. It's in a kind of the innovations team that we have at Amazon, kind of working on different new initiatives, new industries. And I'm kind of a leading of a function. I'm defining the strategy, building the strategy, communicating it, running employee surveys, measuring the success, communicating with the leadership, with the HR, managing change, managing people that work here with also very tight deadlines and schedules. And on the top of that, also doing coaching and leadership and running the program. So it feels like this role is like a combination of all the previous role I had before.
Yes, yes. It's really great experience. And now you talked about like different competencies which you develop with the businesses, like doesn't matter, Uber, Amazon, like in other companies. And to be honest, what's your favorite competencies which you love to develop with the team? And maybe you will tell me why, how you can see the outcomes from this development in the end. Like, yes, I'm really curious. What's your favorite?
Ooh, favorite organizational competencies that we build within the organization?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. First of all, my favorite personally, because I have like a personal affinity into it, is emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is, there's so many competencies also within emotional intelligence, but it's implemented within Amazon cultural values, like building trust, being customer obsessed, deliver results. And it's about being self-aware, being aware of how you behave and how your behavior impacts others. And it's also understanding how others behave and what communication styles they would need from you, so you'll have a productive, effective conversation. So you'll get from them what you need and they will get from you what they need. It's having this affinity is building empathy, compassion, and knowing how to communicate and how to, you know, regulate your emotions so it would be beneficial to you. And within that competency, there's building resilience. For me, it's a very important skill right now that we need to build within the organizations. It's how to get out of difficulties stronger than you were before. You know, we had COVID, so we had the pandemic, people working from home. Now, many companies, including Amazon, require people going back to the office. So we have like this hybrid.
So stressful for them.
Yes, it's stressful because you're used to being 3 years working from home. And now suddenly, you know, everything has to change and you need to kind of change your schedule. There is, you know, economic things that impact wars, that impact the economy, the stock prices, the way companies make decisions, the way they want to maybe cut on costs in some ways or lower headcounts. So how can you be resilient to that and become stronger? How can you be creative and, you know, have this emotional agility of finding different solutions to a problem, or not seeing it as a problem, but seeing it as an opportunity.
Yes, if we're talking about emotional intelligence, I love it really so much. And I love one big part of these competencies. It's empathy and like, yes, to be in trust. If you are honest with yourself, with people around you, you can create like environment around you and like energy from the universe can connect with you and open for you a lot of resources. It's really true. It's like how we can create some businesses, some relationships, some outcomes, everything around us. Yes, it's a great experience. And how do you approach challenges and setbacks in your career? And what strategies do you employ to overcome them?
In my career specifically?
Yeah.
I had many challenges, many. It wasn't all so good. I had many doubts in myself earlier in my career when I, the management consulting implementation of systems. And, you know, I was doubting myself. I was like, is this how work looks like? I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. You know, my manager wasn't a good manager that motivated me. She was kind of, you know, didn't get leadership training. And it happens very often that we are in a place like that in our career where we think like, what am I doing? Or, you know, where am I? Is this the right thing for me? So it's okay, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay that, you know, things are not always going super well. Everybody fail. And look at it as a learning experience. Think about it. What is the world telling you right now? You know, what do you need to learn from this experience? How can you, you know, move past this and be resilient and become stronger and think about, you know, maybe this job is not for me. Maybe I'm made to do something else. And also know that, you know, there's interesting, my favorite, the father of positive psychology, Martin Seligman, and he came with this term of helplessness, is that people think that the situation of helplessness is what you think, that that's it, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I have nothing, you know, nothing's ever good is going to happen to me. So people think that it's a permanent and that nobody can help them and nothing can get them out of this situation. So it's like when you're like in the lowest point. But actually, it's not true. It's not permanent. Nothing is. And you can rely on people that can help you, that support you, and you'll be surprised. You know, I had another case where I was in a low point in my career. It was the early pandemic. I was laid off from Uber. I lost my job, even though I was top performer. And I knew that because, let's say I knew that. And for 6 months, I was interviewing and looking for a job. And it was a very difficult time. It was high levels of unemployment. Company was laying off people. And learning and development, let's, you know, face it, it's a supporting role. It's not
absolutely
a priority.
Yeah. I'm thinking a lot about like learning and development industries and like departments, because it's not like a business profit department. Yeah. It's like support department, but it's really important in a time when we have different challenges and when we have a like problem or like some challenges in the business and we need support more people. We need to invest a lot of resources to people. But like, yeah, sometimes it happened.
Yeah. I wish companies were thinking like that. That we actually do need to invest in support of our people. But in the real world, you know, when you're not making profits, you're keeping those who do make profits and those who support them, they're the first one to go. So in this situation, like when I was looking for a job, unemployed, I reached out to many people in my network and people were referring me and even people that I knew less, you know, not very close. You'll be surprised. People are very helpful. Like 99% of folks that I reach out to helped and connected me to their connections or referred me to a job in their role or met me for a coffee to give some insights. This would be my second recommendation after, you know, having that mindset is to reach out to folks and don't hesitate to ask for help.
Yeah, absolutely. We need just ask. It's really unexpected, but like I've read, I think like maybe last year, like an article about that people, we don't know how to ask people about help. It's why we are not asking, but it's so simple. And we have a lot of people who can support us, who can help us, who can do something special, something unique for us. It's really so simple, but like,
it's true. It's uncomfortable.
I don't know. Maybe you like a mom. You can tell why, because I think this competence about ask help, it's coming from our childhood, because like in the childhood, kids always asking us, mommy, help me, dad, help me, like sister, brother, but something stuck in our adult life, or like something happened, why we are not asking, and how people need to like start to do it.
You know, it's funny that you ask that. It made me think on kind of the way we're brought up. I was brought up with parents that are very loving and supporting, and they try to solve all the problems for me. You know, they are the ones that I'm like, mom, I have issues with, for example, math and physics. So like, okay, let's take private tutors and then you won't have issues anymore. Or mom, I have issues with this and this. Like, okay, let me solve this for you. And while it was kind of the best intentions ever, I feel like this now stopped me when I grew up from asking people for help, because I was kind of with that mindset of, you know, my parents, or there's going to be somebody that would come and improve it for me, or it will be resolved by itself. Or if it doesn't, it's not important. And, you know, you always say, I'm going to be the best parent. I'm not going to repeat my parents' mistakes. But in the end of the day, I'm sure your kids are still going to be talking about you in a therapy. So no matter what you do, right?
Absolutely.
But I'm trying to educate my kids to problem solve themselves, you know, like, oh, mom, I don't know how to solve this. So I'm trying to coach her, you know, even like you do it with that leader. Like, what did you try? And why do you think it's difficult? And what can we do about this? You know, and treating everything like we're solving a problem instead of like me telling her what to do.
And next step will be after the coaching, Google it.
Google it.
Enough.
Yeah.
So interesting and so important. Thank you for that. And we talked about like your transition from a role at Uber to your current position. And how has your perspective on career advancement and self-improvement evolved? And how do you encourage this, like to embrace change and skill building?
So what I learned, a big lesson, and this is something that I try to implement as well within our organization, on the people, the organization I support, is that change is the inevitable. You know the saying, change is the only constant thing.
Absolutely.
So no matter where you're ready for it or not, you gotta embrace it. Just embrace it. You know, I wasn't ready to be laid off. I was shocked when it happened because things were going so well for me. Honestly, even my manager was shocked. He didn't know that it would happen. But it happened. And that's it. There's no way back. You know, there's no way to say, okay, no, can you take me back? No, you gotta live with it. You gotta use the cards you have and move on. Look at it as an opportunity. So this is what I try to kind of educate, and the mindset I'm trying to build is that look at every change. Crisis in Greek means opportunity. You know, it's an ancient word, so crisis. And look at every change as an opportunity to grow, to learn something new, to, you know, develop yourself, to find different solutions, to develop your emotional agility. Because in the end of the day, it's going to be another success line in your resume. That's what it's going to be.
Could you share a specific moment in your career journey where you found unexpected inspiration that significantly impacted your approach to learning and development? And how has it shaped your professional philosophy? Do you have some professional philosophy? Tell us.
I guess it's business integrity. It's being, you know, following through is to just professional behavior, is the executive presence. Well, I guess I had a really good manager when I came to the US, because we know this is the person where we kind of get the most inspiration, that impacts the most our career journeys, is our manager, right, in the end of the day. And her name was Mary Kay, and she was my manager at the consulting company Slalom. And, you know, she was both very empathetic and caring and inclusive and very kind of woman empowerment. And at the same time, she was very professional. She was very direct. You know, if I had a mistake, she would tell me directly. If I need to improve something, she would do it. But I would never feel bad after this, like, you know, constructive feedback conversation. Mm-hmm. I would always feel good, like she's there to support me. And there was one moment in my life that she really, I think, made an impact. It was a personal, actually, moment, is that I went on maternity leave. And when I was, you know, I was 5 months away on maternity leave with my first baby. Mm-hmm. And I was scared, you know, feeling that guilt. And I'm leaving work. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my career? You have all these thoughts. What's going to happen to the team? Am I doing the right thing? And the day I was going back from my maternity leave, I was taking the train from San Francisco to Palo Alto. That's where the office was. And I was sitting in the train and having all these thoughts on, I'm going to go back, you know, what people are going to say, but what they're going to think. And at the same time, feeling guilty that I am abandoning my baby, you know, and leaving them.
I know.
You know that. And we feel it every time. And I got a text from Mary Kay saying, welcome back, Victoria. You've got this.
Yes.
And it just, yeah, it was just so caring. And it was just the perfect message. It's exactly what I wanted to hear, what I needed to hear at that moment.
Yes.
That gave me confidence and made me feel like I'm doing the right thing. I've got this, you know, I own my choices. Like, this is my choice. I want to focus on my development. I want to be happy and I'm doing the right thing. And I guess she was a big impact on me and my career of having that, both that manager, that like radical candor, that you can be both empathetic and caring and really, really there for your employees, but at the same time, getting the best out of them, you know, making sure that they're doing a good job.
Yes. And you've got this, right? It's like professional philosophy, not just for learning and development. And in your life, in your relationship, in your life with the friends, with everything. Because I know you're a person who is really, like, you can do it always. I'm really confident about you and about your life, about your work experience, about everything. Yes, it's really true. And I know you are not just a woman who is growing professionally, but you are also a wife, a mom of 2 amazing kids, I know. And you're a woman filled with energy and love for life. And tell me, please, I'm really curious about this question, because I'm really the same, like a mom and like a woman who is doing a lot of things in my life. And how do you like balance the pursuit of success in your career with maintaining a healthy work-life balance? It's really, I think, good question for everybody now.
Oh my gosh, that's a difficult question. I mean, it's a good question, but difficult one. I guess there is no magic formula, you know, there is no magic work-life balance. This is what you need to do. And every woman or, you know, any person would define for themselves what balance look like and what are the right proportions for you for anything. And I don't know, a lot of women say like, you can't have it all, you know, it's either you do this or you do that or you do this or you do, you know, and it's not that I agree with it or disagree, but I heard a very interesting phrase from ex-CEO of PepsiCo, and she said, your biological clock is running against your career development, because right at the time when you're at the peak of your career, you already kind of established yourself and you proved yourself and you want to advance, it's the time to biological clock. You need to have babies. And of course, when you have kids, your attention goes to the kids and your body, it's biological. So it's not easy, it's difficult. And it's just, you define for yourself. I know many women that were got from maternity leave and they got promoted once they are back from maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I know women the other way around that were put in the closet after they got back from maternity leave. Like, there's both. So It's a combination. It's a combination of everything. It's where you work, the environment you work, and your support network as well. Your spouse, your friends and family, and where you decide to invest your energy and money as well. So there is no magic formula for that, unfortunately. If there was, tell me. I want to implement.
Like, you know, I'm thinking about work-life balance like you the same way, because I trust not like to work-life balance. I've read it like maybe 2 years ago. That's now the philosophy about work-life balance is not so popular. Now it's a time about harmony life balance. It means you need to check like every day, every time, like every week, every month about like, okay, I have a different part of my life, like friends, family, work, yourself, development. And you can check, how do you feel about this part of your life? Is it like a harmony? Are you happy here? Or you want to change something right now? Because like, we cannot be in the balance every time.
Exactly.
You know, we are like in the same page on this, like I'm a mom, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a self-improvement person. Like, I want to read, I want to travel, I want to meet my friends, I want to be here, I want to be a mom, I want to be like everything.
Yeah.
And like now, I'm really try to check my life every day. How do I feel? And if I feel not so good in the moment, I want to change it here and now, and how we live, because we cannot do everything in one time, like in the same time. I support you and I'm with you too, because it's so hard. Yes, I know.
It is. Yeah, I love it what you said. I think it's a great advice as well, like thinking about checking every single aspect of your life separately and asking where I'm at, how do you feel about it? Am I meeting my expectations or not? Am I thriving or not? And it's okay. You know, some days you're not going to be thriving. Some days you're going to be like, oh my God, my house is a mess. I need to pick up my kids. I have a huge report at work. I have like guests coming, you know, there's like all over. And it's okay as well. Like it's part of life.
Breathe and exhale. And like,
But it's like pulse check yourself each time. Like, am I in the right harmony for myself? And what do I need to do to improve if not? It's perfect.
And if we will back to talk about like your experience and about your career, I want to ask you about some advice. What advice would you give to someone looking to pursue a career in learning and development or related fields? Because it's based on your own experience and insights. And it's really important to people who are hearing us now. I think it will be really important for them.
What advice I can give to people that want to find a job in learning and development.
Yes.
I guess, you know, beside having this like hard skills of understanding how adults learn and how they like to live in from no information and having that kind of like instructional design aspect, I think it's important to focus on or demonstrate, be able to demonstrate three big important skills. First one is building trust with your stakeholders, with your customers, with your leadership, with the HR, being able to collaborate with people, being consistent with what you're saying, managing the stakeholders in an effective way, involving the executive sponsors from the start and getting people to adhere and champion your programs and your initiatives and being them, connect them to your vision and make sure they trust you. So I feel like this is kind of, you have to be able to demonstrate it in an interview process or, you know, finding these opportunities to build trust with your clients or, you know, all the different employees. And the second skill that you should be able to demonstrate is agility, is being able, and this is where the resilience again coming into play, shift gears and adapt when needed. For example, I had a case where at Uber, we designed a leadership program to pilot in Brazil. It was a 3-day in-person leadership development focused on coaching. And I invented like cohorts and this and, you know, lots of group exercises. And then COVID hit and I had to rewrite the whole program and make it virtual. And now, you know, when I learned from the hindsight is when we design programs, make sure that it's easy to adapt from in-person to virtual. So the same, like being agile, saying, oh, now we can deliver it in-person. Maybe there's another pandemic. Maybe somebody is sick. Maybe, you know, you have to cut costs. So being agile and being able to quickly say, okay, we're going to do it virtually. You know, no problem. And the third one is the innovation or the growth mindset is always, you know, you never stop learning when you are a learning and development professional. And right? So you always have to be on trend with the latest technologies, you know, AR, VR, and what's in the market and how we use AI now to optimize our processes. How can we learn less with more? The Gen Z that is coming, you know, how do they like to learn? They learn differently than Gen X, you know, or even us millennials. So, you know, always learn, get yourself educated, be up to date because you want to be relevant. You know, you want to make sure that your programs are engaging and interesting and relevant for your customers.
Yeah. And may I add, like in the end, you talked about innovation and to be like in a trend and you should know everything about like the industry and how the technology is developing or like something happens. And I think like the in the end of this innovation competencies or like mindset, you should be like critical thinking person because you need to evaluate different trends and how different kinds of technology and innovations influence to your industry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because L&D, learning and development, I think it's a big market for all those like AI and VR. And we, you know, there's lots of things coming up with using these new technologies and it still didn't reach its maturity. It's still growing. So, you know, you got to follow it and be up to date with what's out there in the market.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to talk now about another part of your experience and about your expertise. It's like with your background in coaching and talent development, how do you utilize your leadership and life coaching skills to assist individuals in navigating change within rapidly evolving and work settings, you know? And how does this tie into your approach to organizational transformation? Like, how does it work?
Wow. How do I use the coaching skills? So let's define first. Coaching is about asking people powerful questions to get the best out of their decisions and to help them maximize their potential. So it's not telling people what to do or advising them. Like this is, you know, saying like, okay, we have this change. You should do X, Y, Z, and then you have to do that. It's working around the individual and it's about the individual. So when you work with individuals, no matter if it's a manager, an executive, or just an individual contributor, anyone is important, you know, for the organization. And it's all about focusing on them. What you identify, kind of what goals they want to achieve as an individual within the organization, professional or personal. And it's about identifying what are the limits and what stopped them from reaching this goal till now. And everybody in this planet, in Earth, we have limitations, we have fears, we have anxieties, we have beliefs that may limit us. For example, imposter syndrome. It's very common in nowadays, very common. Women experience it more than men, but men experience it too. How do you overcome it? You know, what made you have this syndrome in the start? And I admit, me as well, sometimes I feel it myself. So how do you get yourself in the mindset to overcome it? How can you implement some practices in your day-to-day to be better, to overcome it, to solve this or live with it, right? And building the strategy after that to reach your goals. So coaching is about the individual, and you can implement it to any kind of organizational aspect as well, whether it's change management or any other organizational initiative. And it's about focusing on the individual. This is why it's so powerful, because it's really, really personalized way to help people learn and grow.
Yes, I agree with you, because I'm certified coach in ICF. And when I was chief learning officer, like it was really many, many years ago, like I think 15 years ago, and we implemented like coaching in a leadership program for our leaders. And we implemented coaching to sales processes, because if you are asking the great question, your customers, not just like your employees, customers, like people around you, the good questions, it will help and support your business and will make your life better. And like
people who ask questions, they are the ones running the show. Because when you have information, especially first-hand information, it empowers you to manage communication and relationship at work, at home, with the customers and employees.
Okay, and now it's so interesting for me, like your experience and like your interesting story about your life experience, because just like me, you've lived in a different countries with completely different cultures, languages, and your multilingual and multicultural backgrounds is truly fascinating. And how does your ability to speak five languages fluently and your international experience uniquely inform your approach to connecting with individuals from diverse backgrounds and helping them reach their highest potential in the workplace?
Yeah, so I feel like the language is a window or a door to culture, right? When you speak the language well, you have the visibility to the person's, or a group, let's say not the person's, but the group, how they think, how they operate, and how they celebrate things. It definitely helps when you speak the language. There's a lot of words that just cannot be translated, you know, like no matter what you do. And people that speak several languages or more than one language would agree with me that there's just words that you can't translate. It will never be exact translation of what the word actually means.
Yes.
So when you understand meanings of these words, you would understand how people like think and operate, and, you know, or what makes them laugh. It's often jokes, right? Or it's often like very specific things that are related to their culture. So that's definitely helps to kind of build empathy and compassion with people when you connect with them. It's always better. It's always better to speak the language the people speak with them. It's always, you have a stronger connection when you go abroad. And for example, when I go to Mexico and I speak Spanish with everyone,
yes.
Like, yeah, I do. I get better treatment. Like people, I had once a story that we were in Mexico in a restaurant. I was like speaking with everyone, you know, with all the waiters and the bars. And they're like, how do you speak Spanish? How do you speak Spanish? Of course, and I don't hide. I have a very strong accent when I speak Spanish, but I know well and I understand everything. And then my husband, like he went to the bathroom and came back and there was like five people around me like, Señorita Victoria, can I bring you this? Señorita Victoria, here's a free drink, Señorita. And you know, and it's just so fun. And funnest part is just to connect with the people and learn about them. And so I guess it's a curiosity as
yes.
well. When you speak languages, it develops your curiosity. And the more you're curious about someone, the better connection you have. And the best conversations with people that ask you questions, you know, or with people that listen.
Yes.
So I guess that really helped, understanding the differences, the affinities of each language and words, and just being curious about people. This what helps bridge a connection with someone.
Yes, and with people from different countries, different cultures, because, you know, if you are speaking in different languages, you have a different, your brain connections and your brain works really differently. Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm really excited about that's my kiddos. I have three sons. My eldest, Platon, he is 9 years old, and my second, Rodion, he's 7 years old, and small one, Tihon, he's 2 years old. But like Rodion and Platon, they are speaking fluently for two languages, and now they're learning a third language, Spanish, at school. And my Platon, he learned Mandarin, and he was really so good in this language. And I've always admired people who speak multiple languages, because I'm just speaking two languages, and I understand a bit of Armenian because my dad, he's Armenian. I know just one really deep phrase, Armenian phrase, Armenians use this sentence when they genuinely love and cherish someone, is tsavot tanem. It means I love you so much that I'm ready to take away all your pain, all your worries, all your doubts, everything, what happened.
Wow.
Yes. If we are talking now about languages, maybe you will tell us what methods of language learning have you found to be the most effective for yourself. Maybe it will help someone.
The number one method is total immersion. You know, it's you go in a country and you don't speak your own language. You just speak the local language. And not being scared of making mistakes. You know, forget about being perfect. Forget about it. Forget it.
Yes.
It doesn't exist. Even people that is their mother tongue, they make mistakes, okay? So just, be brave and just say what you can, say how you feel. And, people may correct you, or you may learn to say it in a different way, and it will be difficult at the beginning. But the more you practice, the more you do it, it's the best. I actually learned to read and write in Russian when I was 16. My parents went to Russia. And I decided, I need to learn how to read and write in Russian. It's urgent for me because I had to graduate school there. Mm-hmm. So I went to learn how to read and write and to graduate a school. And I decided, I'm going to buy things that I want to read, that interests me.
Yeah.
So I just started from easy, I just bought magazines, Vogue, and all these, it's simple, accessible. And, I read about fashion, I read about brands, I read about makeup and stuff like that because it interests me and it was easy. So, get yourself something that you want to read and something simple. Third thing is movies, try to watch movies without subtitles. Just watch them like that. It's okay if you don't understand everything. You'll understand the main idea. I try to watch, to maintain my Spanish or French. We speak French at home, but if I want to, beyond what we speak at home, I watch shows in mm-hmm. French, and I watch it without subtitles, or I watch it with French subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So they speak French and there's French subtitles. So just, find these opportunities outside of your regular day-to-day, watching shows, reading magazines, talking to people. And I didn't have Duolingo or anything like that. It didn't exist. When was it? 17 years ago? Oh my God, 20 years ago?
Yes.
So I had to do it this way. Now there's all these apps and all that. So you can always use that as well.
Yes, it's really true. if you want to speak in different languages, I think in the end, you should try to find some great friends in the different countries, or maybe people who can be your language neighbors, like language buddies. Language buddies. It will help you too.
Yeah.
And like, if we will back to your professional sphere, I want to ask, like, in the end of language and culture questions, like, given your expertise in building diverse and inclusive, like, leadership development function, how do you ensure that the employee experience is consistently expectational, like, across different cultural and geographical contexts? And how do you promote career advancement for all employees in such a varied environment?
Yeah, I feel like it's two questions, right? One is, how do you promote diversity to adapt to geographies and languages?
Yes.
And then how do I improve career development or help foster career? So the first one, when you build content, it's important to make sure that you include, watch your language, that you use the words that are universally acceptable. For example, now it's not appropriate to say, "Hi, guys," you know, because not all, everybody are guys anymore. So you say like, "Hi, folks," or "Hi, friends," or "Hi, colleagues." You know, so stuff like that, that you use the right inclusive language, and that you also include images like of people that are from different colors and places and religions and backgrounds. What I like to do is, when I create a training, I get other people's perspective. I send it to get feedback. You know, if I want to, for example, when I was developing the training for Brazil, so I did it in hand with teams in Brazil and got their feedback. And even if you don't have L&D folks, you can get somebody from the business to give you, to read the training and give you feedback on the training, on the wording, on the language, on the content. And same as for any other place that you go. There is also aspect of accessibility as well. So this I try to get, there's like, you know, general guidelines around fonts and sizes and shapes and the colors, because there's people that are colorblind. So make sure that, you know, the colors that you have, that people are able to see the difference. So there's a kind of a general guidelines. You can Google it, you can find it anywhere. If you have a people that do accessibility in your company, so get their feedback. So, you know, working with people, you're not working in a vacuum. It's that aspect of building trust. It's building with stakeholders, collaborating. Don't build something just by yourself. You're a team, okay? It takes a village to build a winning program. The second thing, how do we promote career development? So you have to understand the career development philosophy in your company and how it works. And at Amazon, we encourage ownership on career development, you know. And this, I'm kind of speaking for myself, you know, I can't speak on behalf of the company, but it can be applicable to any other aspect in your life, is taking ownership on it. It's not to sit and wait till you go to the office and your manager says, "Congratulations, you got promoted." Like, it's very rare. Mm-hmm. It never happens. Very rarely happens. You have to work for it. You have to identify what your goals are, identify how you measure your goals and how you communicate and demonstrate your success, and look for opportunities. Say yes to things. You know, career development doesn't have to be only about promotion. It can be so many, like us doing this podcast is career development. You know,
yes,
it can be so many, right? Attending a conference and meeting other people, it's career development. You know, becoming a public speaker and speaking about your expertise in front of an audience, it's career development. There's so many ways you can learn and grow that will make you, a better, even better at what you do. So we have to, you know, get out of the mindset of it is just promotion. There's other ways. So, and I'm here to facilitate it. I'm here to create, help people find these opportunities for themselves and facilitate the interaction and put them in that mindset of You own your career. Be on the driver's seat.
Yes, absolutely. And you told interesting thoughts about like we have a different waves for career development, like different ways. And what's your favorite for yourself? What's your favorite? Because I know about myself that I love to learn and develop like from person to person. Like I love stories, experience from person to person. I love to be a speaker and it's my career development too. What's favorite way for you?
For me, I'm working on building my brand. Okay, my personal brand. So I'm learning a lot about social media and how to market yourself in social media, how to promote, how to get engagement, how to create content on social media. It's something that is so important for your personal brand and that I don't know much about. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new profession. People make like careers out of it, like and profit. And so I'm opening myself up to this world of personal branding and promoting myself on different channels and doing the activities that would promote me as a brand. So I'm learning a lot about that. It's a fun process. You know, you look at social media reels and you're like, I'm learning, you know, I'm not just looking, but I am, you know, I am looking yes. best practices, you know, how they shot, what's the angle, where's the light, how's the content, oh, that it's only like 10 seconds long. You know, you learn technical aspects of it.
Absolutely. And it's like me, like an innovative person who develop innovation company in learning and development. And like, because we are professional software, I explore different tools like AI tools, like sometimes it's dating apps, sometimes it's Photoshop apps or like some photos apps with AI. If you want to create something new, you need to see a lot of things because like it's something happens in your brain and you can design something really specific. It's why how does it work with the some reels, some videos, some something, because you can look at something specific and wow, yes, like some new ideas can come to your mind. Like
exactly, get inspired. Yes, you can see it. Get inspired from the existing content.
Yes, absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, and don't stop to do it. Yes. Yes, watch your reels with your kiddos sometimes, with your family. It's really important like to be on the same page with the people who are near you.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And like given your background in organizational transformation and change management, like how do you believe businesses can best prepare for tomorrow's diverse human capital challenges in rapidly changing environments, like what happens now and like tomorrow with us?
Yeah, I guess you can never be like 100% prepared for the rapidly changing environment. There's always things that are coming by surprise, you know, like a war that came out in different parts of our world. Nobody was ready for it, in companies, but it did impact our stocks and our prices and the economy. So it's not about being prepared, although, you know, it's always good to do your best. But it's about having that mindset of wherever is coming, I've got it. You know, I can handle it and being agile and being able to say, okay, now I have to shift gears. For example, I had a team of 10 people headcount and now I can't hire anyone. I only have two, you know, so how are you going to do more with less?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just having that mindset of being able to adapt to different situations, different curveballs that are running and what to do. As a leader, if you lead a big organization, you have to know not only how to be ready yourself, you have to know how to communicate it in the right way and how to reassure your employees, how they can adapt to the change and get the most out of them in a work environment. So always have that in mind as a leader, that it's not only about you, it's also about your organization and how you can be a servant leader and make sure that you take care of your people.
Yes, it's absolutely true. And in the end of our conversation, I want to ask you like several questions. Really interesting, I think, for our audience. It will be about artificial intelligence. We forgot about it because it's a trend. Yes. In what ways do you believe artificial intelligence will transform the landscape of learning and development? And how do you incorporate AI-related strategies in your current role?
Oh my gosh, this is the $1 million question.
Yes, sure. And $1 million goes to Victoria.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take it. I will not say
yes.
No. How do, well, AI, artificial intelligence impacts the way we create programs, right? The way it will enable instructional designers, learning professionals to create faster and better things. We can generate images, we can generate videos, we can generate PowerPoints out of text, we can generate text out of PowerPoints and whatnot. And so I feel like our time to conduct a specific task will be shortened, and there's going to be a human that needs to learn the skills to work with the AIs to make sure that, you know, see if you need to correct anything and make sure that the content works and it's a good thing to roll out. And then it also impacts the way we learn, right? Because we used to, you know, ask Google and now we ask ChatGPT. We get faster answers.
Yeah.
We can generate text. We can generate reports much easier. We can get learning outcomes easier. If you ask ChatGPT to write an article for you, they can do that and giving them some prompts. So I feel like the way we learn will also evolve because we will be learning using that tool and we'll have access to a sea of information, even more than we had before. So it's exciting times, you know. 20 years ago, people were saying the same thing about internet,
absolutely,
right?
I remember I came to special organization, like a special rooms to have internet connection, like to have my own experience with the computer and internet. And like, I did not have my own computer at home and internet, no. We did not have, and we live in interesting era now because me and you, we know how it was without internet connection.
Yeah.
And now
with
ChatGPT, how does it work? I'm really laughing with my kiddos. You know, one day my eldest son, he came near the window and like, I think we lived in a fifth floor and he started to do with the fingers like, he wanted to zoom in something in the window. And I asked him, Platon, what are you doing? And he told me, Mommy, I cannot see what happened in the playground. I want to zoom in it. Like, oh my God, zoom in it in the window at my home. Like, yes. And now my kiddos, they are doing, they prepare like some homework with the ChatGPT. They don't need to ask me about something there. And I think it's a great skill now to ask the real true questions, to have a deep conversation with the AI or like with the people. Like, yeah, it's something new. And it's not new. It's not future. It's a reality. Reality, which we have now and what happened with us.
Yeah, it is.
I think now I'm gonna throw in a few quick questions that all like wrap up every episode. If you were to write an autobiography or make a film about yourself, what would it be called?
What would it be called? Let's see, something about a journey, because I feel like my life is a journey. Maybe... yeah, the journey to your best life.
Oh, great, yes.
Yeah, how to design the life you want.
Great, I love it. Tell your favorite quatrain and explain why exactly you choose it.
Oh, okay. My favorite quatrain is of Robbie Burns from Scotland. It's called My Heart is in the Highlands.
We are ready.
Yeah. It's actually a longer, but it's the first refrain. So, my heart is in the Highlands, a chasing a deer. My heart is in the Highlands, my heart is not here. Chasing a wild deer and following the roe. My heart is in the Highlands wherever I go.
Bravo, bravo, Victoria.
Thank you. So it's about Robbie Burns and his love and connection to Scotland and the Highlands in Scotland. And I feel that love and connection to Scotland as well because I studied in Edinburgh University. It was the best time of my life. I learned so much. I met such wonderful people from all over the world. And it's a university from the 16th century. So it, you can feel the history
energy.
And in the walls and the energy. Yes. And it's there's some buildings there from that time. It's just so beautiful. It's like you study in a museum and all the professors are really kind of enhancing you. They're teaching you to ask questions, you know, like they're teaching you critical thinking. They're teaching you like, you know, is globalization good or bad for us? You know, like write an essay about it, you know, like, and it's like, it makes you think, it develops your critical thinking. And it's just Scotland, it's such a wonderful place. It's
yes, I love it. So yeah, I've been there.
Right? Yeah. It's beautiful. It's cozy. Everybody are so nice. And, you know, the cafe where J.K. Rowling was sitting and writing Harry Potter and looking at Edinburgh Castle. So I used to go to that cafe every day. I didn't meet J.K. Rowling. It was before. She wrote it before. But it's like that. It's like magical. Yes. It's a magical place. So my heart is always there for setting the base for my education and making me the person that I am.
Yes, great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. What are the three most important qualities that every L&D professional should develop? What success factors can you highlight?
Oh, okay. So we talked about it a little bit before. The three qualities is agility, being able to shift gears, adapt to change, be resilient, you know, being ready when you're not ready, building trust, connecting with your stakeholders, connecting with people, speaking their language, building empathy with them, being emotionally intelligent, and innovation, you know, being on trend with the learning technologies, AR, VR, what's out there, and leveraging them in a smart way, doing less with more, you know, how to innovate, how to invent something, how to invent and simplify, what's better done than perfect, and understand that the way we learn is evolving. Yeah, so agility, trust, emotional intelligence, and innovation.
Yes, great. Did any of your childhood dreams come true?
Oh, yeah, I guess they did. Not all. I always wanted to be an actress and a singer, but I'm not a very good singer, only in the shower.
Sometimes in karaoke, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, you heard. In karaoke.
I love it. I love it. Like, yes, I have a wish list. I want to back with you to karaoke and sing together.
Oh, my God. Yeah, only if it's like in a closed room with people. But the other dreams that came true, I always wanted a house with the stairs, you know, with two floors. And now I have
one.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, great. Great. What was the last thing you Googled?
Oh my God. Actually, the last thing I Googled was quatrain because I didn't know what it means.
Thank you.
In English,
learning and
I didn't
development
know that word.
In the progress.
Never stop learning.
Yes. And what advice would you give to your younger self?
Yeah, I would say don't worry so much. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be okay.
Yes, everything is going to be okay. It's true. And, you know, we've got this cool segment line up called Ask the Next Guest. And here is how it goes. Every guest gets to throw a question at the next guest. And now, Victoria, you're up first. And since this is our maiden voyage, this is no previous guest to ask a question. So I'll pass the mic to you to pose a question to our next guest. Stay tuned, because in the next episode, we'll hear the answer.
Okay, so I want to ask the next guest is, what's the best ever training or learning experience they've ever been to, and what makes it the best?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Victoria. And I really appreciate you for this first episode. We did it!
Woo! We did it! You did a great job.
Yes, Victoria, I'm really so happy. And you know, my sister's name is Victoria, and I love this name. Aww. I love called you Victoria. Aww. I called my sister is Vika. It's like her small name. I don't know, your family called you Vika or no?
Yeah, yes. You can call me Vika. Yes. Yeah,
it's,
of course.
It's really like one of my favorite name, and you are together with me, like my sister, like my elder sister. And thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And love is in the air, and like so great vibes, and like, yes, my heart is with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. Yes, if you want to tell something in the end for our audience, you can do it. And yeah.
What can I say? That it's always a good time to invest in your learning. Like, that's the message. Like, you know, we can always be busy. We can always say like, oh, we have so many things to do. We have a to-do list, and we have kids, and we have family, and we have our personal life. But it's always a good time. There's not one bad time. You know, you will never regret. I never heard somebody say, like, I regret that I learned something. Like, it will never happen. So if you want to encourage the audience to take some time in your day, in your week, in your month, and learn something that you want to learn.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend and the end of the day, because today is the Worldwide Women's Day.
Yes, like, yeah, happy celebrate. Women's Day.
Celebrate it with your friends, family, and we'll see you soon. I hope so.
See you soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this first episode of the podcast, Love, People, Technology, Learning. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did with Victoria. Remember, this is just the beginning of our journey together. I've got a ton of exciting guests lined up, and we are gonna dive deep into some incredible topics about learning and development, like life experiences, innovation, AI, and everything. So hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and stay tuned for more episodes. Until next time, keep shining bright, stay curious, and keep being awesome. Take care, and bye!